So here we are, and the system is broke. American dream has gone up in smoke. So stop sitting there all brokenhearted. Let's get this motherfucking party started. Lady Liberty is ringing a bell, and we're driving us straight into hell. But don't worry, we got what you need. Crank up the volume till your eardrums bleed. Go and make America, America again.
Yeah, we're Gucci.
Welcome, everyone, to the A Better Way to a Podcast. We are your hosts, Andrew and Jordan. I'm Jordan. This is Andrew. And today we have Chris Chansky here with us. Chris is someone that we've been chatting with for a while on the internet.
Yeah.
Constantly pops up into our feed. We tried linking up with once before, like, what, over a year ago, and it just didn't,
yeah.
It just didn't pan out.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are the GM / CEO of The Range 702 in Las Vegas, Nevada. You make a bunch of content on there, a bunch of super catchy stuff, shooting guns. Yeah, recently we've been having people on the show who I think have done very well based on like vibes alone. You know, you actually know about, I've done like, you know, I've been following you long enough. I know what you do and whatnot. But last two guys we had on, other than the fact that they were cool people and we, you know, semi-agreed on politics and whatnot, I was like, tell me about yourself. And there were banger episodes. So I think with the backstory, with the back information, and the fact that you were just a cool person overall, I think we're going to have a good time today.
Awesome. No pressure there.
No. Yeah, don't suck.
Like the last few ones have been awesome.
Don't yeah. fuck up. Big shoes
yeah, don't
to
fuck
fill.
Up my streaks.
Yeah. But yeah, how long have you been doing what you're, how long have you been working at The Range? Do you want me to call it The Range 702 every time? Is that's the full
yeah,
name,
yeah,
right?
No, yeah, the whole name is The Range 702. We can call it, we can
how
call
long
it
have you been working
time.
At TR7
right
02.
That's a new one, that's a new one. No, The Range is totally fine. I've been there for eight years, so for a while. I started only in the capacity of my job was director of sales and marketing. So I was just doing sales and marketing stuff, wasn't in the operations at all. And I did that for about a year, year and a half. And then I moved over to kind of taking over operations and then everything else. So it's been a learning curve, but also I discovered a huge passion of mine. So
that's awesome. Like yeah. Guns in general or running the place?
Both, I guess. I have an operations and a sales and marketing background. So operations kind of made sense for me. That, and I know I love it. I didn't know I love guns. In fact, I didn't like guns before Ooh. Coming here. I was someone who would like vote to abolish guns back in the
oh,
day.
Wow.
So I have
oh
a
my
huge,
God. So you're
huge change,
saying
obviously.
You've changed as a person over the course of time?
Yes. Imagine that.
Whoa.
Learn and grow.
Whoa.
What? Crazy.
So what made you, what led you to working at a gun range, let alone managing one?
So I was in a job that on paper, like so successful. However, it was very corporate. Whenever I started working there, it wasn't corporate. And then by time I was there for 12 years. So it ended up very corporate, which is just not who I am. And I was spending just so much time reporting on what I was doing that I felt like I was reporting more than I was doing and just not fulfilling at all for me.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to leave, but I also wasn't, you know, aggressively looking to leave. And I think everybody's been in that situation when you're just kind of like, ugh. And this kind of just like fell in my lap. And I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know there was like tourist gun ranges. I didn't even know that was a thing. I had actually never been to a gun range. Didn't really know what it was, but the opportunity was there. So it was just kind of, I was like, why would I, you know, I'm unhappy and asking the universe to drop something in my lap and then it does. And then why wouldn't I do it? So even though it was like out of my comfort zone, I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to try it. And I worked here for quite a while without even going inside the range and, you know, purchased no firearms and didn't really, you know, maybe started to feel a little differently about firearms, but not a lot. And then the thing that kind of did it for me is I was going through a divorce and somebody decided to travel across the whole country and like stalk and attempt to take my life. And
oh.
That when someone like literally from across the country who I was like, why are you even here? And they're, you know, literally followed me home with weapons. that's like a moment where I think like everything changes. So sometimes even when I debate, you know, gun issues with people, I'm like, you know what? I hope you live such a life that you never never have to have that drastic change that I did. But I literally bought a gun the next day. I was lucky to already be working at the range, so I was always already familiar and I already trained, so I already kind of knew, you know, how to handle a firearm. So that's great. But I think like going through that really changes your perspective. And then for me, living that changed my perspective, but also, you know, seeing and hearing the stories of people that come in to buy a gun and why they're buying a gun, that'll really do it too.
Yeah. So you took the job at the range while you were still not a fan of baby killing machines?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I give you a lot pretty of credit for seeing an opportunity and saying, you know, this is better than what I have, and it might not be what you saw yourself doing at the time or in the future, but taking that chance and, you know, taking that opportunity to learn more about it. And, you know, it's nice that you had a baseline knowledge before you needed to buy a gun or wanted to buy a gun, where, you know, I think a lot of people would prefer, a lot of people on the quote unquote other side would prefer to think that they don't exist. And, you know, it's something that we talk about all the time on the show is, you know, for a group of people who are so supposedly into safety and protecting people and whatnot, they're very against learning about guns and very against teaching children about guns and gun safety. And it's always seemed very hypocritical to me. So I commend you for taking the steps to, you know, even though you were in a position different than most being in a gun space, but, you know, nothing forced you to learn more about them. And, you know, so that was cool that you did that.
Yeah. I think that part of me has always been there. First, I'll always just jump into things I don't know. I kind of love it. I feel like it's how I learn and grow as a person. So I love to jump like that. That was very on brand for me to be like, I have no idea what the fuck this is. Let's do it. And still to this day, like, I love that. So that was like very on brand for me. But I also can say, like, even though I considered myself anti-gun, I never really spoke about it because I didn't know much about it. And I would always just be like, I don't know. I just don't like them. I don't know.
Wow. Imagine that, not knowing about something and choosing not to speak about it.
That's weird.
I have no idea what that's
take
like.
Take anything away from this podcast, that's it.
Yeah. If you don't know what you're talking about, learn.
Yeah. So I got to the point where I was like, ooh, maybe I do want to, like, have an opinion about this. So I chose to learn about it. And then once I started learning, my opinion changed a lot. So
heck yeah. I've said a few times that I would, in a perfect world, people would decide on their own to learn more about firearms and, you know, put aside their preconceived notions regarding them and the misinformation that they've been fed, realize that it's all false for the most part, or at least half truths. But, you know, this massive growth in gun owners that we've seen recently has been as a result of historically people who have been anti-gun feeling unsafe and feeling like their rights are about to be taken away or are being taken away. And, you know, as much as I wish that that wasn't the reason, just as I wish you didn't have to go through a traumatic experience to come to the realization that guns are a tool and are useful, you know, I'm happy people like you are here. I'm happy every new gun owner who decides to own a gun and become knowledgeable about them does so, even if it unfortunately takes a traumatic experience to make that jump.
Yeah, that's what I always, you know, I always say to people is please come train and learn. Even if you decide not to buy a gun, just come do a training class, educate yourself. No matter what you think about guns, what I can tell you for a fact is they are here. So
yeah, and they're not going anywhere. That's
right. So be educated. Like, even if you like, we offer one-on-one classes. So I always tell people to come to a one-on-one class because it's a very comfortable space to be in. You're not like in a classroom full of, you know, gun bros. So there's no, like, it's just you and one other person and you can just learn. So I'm like, go do that. Your opinion on guns doesn't have to change. You can just educate yourself and be more safe and know what you're doing. And the other thing that I always tell them is like, do that now, because I don't know the stats on like how many people go through life and have a traumatic event, but I think it's probably like a lot of people. And I always see people coming into the range literally sometimes like black eyes and like busted up faces, and they're super traumatized and something horrible just happened last night, and they're like, I need to buy a gun, and they're like so upset. And that's the worst time to be trying to educate yourself. You're going through it. So, you know, likelihood that you'll have a traumatic event in your life at some point is probably pretty high. Just get training. Like, I'm not going to try to pressure you into buying a gun or do whatever. Just educate yourself.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, the people who say, I have no idea why anybody would ever want a gun, with kind of like through their teeth looking down on the people who choose to be gun owners as if we're, you know, ignorant or less intelligent or less civilized. You know, I'm happy that you have no idea why someone would need need to own a gun. I'm very happy that people exist that have never experienced violence towards them. And, you know, I wish things were to a point where nobody would have to experience violence, but that's not the word, the world that we live in. And, you know, I just, it's super goofy when people who, when people try to project their own lack of experience onto others and use that as an excuse to like shit on people for their life choices.
Yeah.
Right. And there's something else going on here too that's kind of working against that recommendation. You know, because obviously it's like, okay, so get training and education now because you might feel differently later, or even if you don't think you'll feel differently. You know, this is a very practical and sound advice, but from the perspective of like, you know, dedicated like anti-gun culture warriors, there's this feeling that knowledge of guns is like forbidden, that like knowing more about the guns makes you less able to argue against them, or that it's like just like,
well, kind of does go hand in hand. Or, the more you know about guns, the less you're able to argue against them.
Right, so they're starting from the position of that they want guns banned, right? You know, they know that like learning about it kind of taints their like pure position of opposition. And so, you know, you tell people that are kind of on the fence or just don't know a lot about it, you know, to go get some education and decide for yourself. Well, you know, you got people on the other side of it that are like, you know, don't go anywhere near that, you know. You know, that's gonna, like, it's gonna corrupt you somehow.
It's almost like perspective shapes people. I know very few people who are, well, I don't know anybody personally who is quote unquote pro-life who has also had to get an abortion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
right.
Kind of goes hand in hand. Like, lived experiences shape your perspective on the world.
Yeah. But, yeah, 100%.
I know a lot of people that think abortion's kind of yucky, but that understand that, you know, people make decisions and have rights and
I mean, I don't know anybody that like loves abortion. I don't think
anybody's like, yeah, fuck babies, so fuck fetuses. Like,
I've definitely met antinatalists who like as a policy position are against like having kids. You know, I don't know if they are actually like super excited about abortion.
Right. I'd say most people that are, you know, pro-choice.
Yeah.
They're not like abortion fans.
Right.
They just understand, like, you know, I shouldn't be in charge of your medical decisions. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I typically have the, whenever I'm arguing with someone, and I use this term arguing instead of debating, whenever I'm arguing with someone who I know is not going to change their mind, I always take the stance that I think abortion should be mandatory and random.
Just because you're like, I'm not going to win this argument anyway.
So I'm not going to win this argument, so I'm just gonna come up with the most unhinged take.
You have to
make this person remember me.
We're going to increase benefits for random parents, but you have to take a lottery, and if you draw the wrong number, all your kids get aborted, no matter how old they are.
You know what? Sometimes when I argue or debate or whatever, I'm trying to talk to somebody who is, you know, not pro-choice, I feel like that's the stigma. Like, that's what they think is happening.
Yeah. 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 Like,
people are having abortion parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm about to have a baby and I'm like, you know, 2 days away from my due date. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm just like, you know what? I don't want this baby anymore. And I just go have an abortion and it's so fun. And I'm like, so excited about it.
Yeah. That's how women who get abortions sound.
Yeah. That's like literally what.
I don't want this baby anymore.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
It was good.
I think that's what's in their head. Like, that's what they delusionally think is happening.
I purposefully carried this baby for 9 months so that it would be as offensive as possible when I wanted to get the abortion.
Yeah. I just wanted to piss you pro-life off.
You know, I think it's this phenomenon where people, instead of, well, it's heuristics. People make mental shortcuts about things that they don't fully understand in order to, quote, unquote, protect themselves. It's an evolutionary thing that the media and the government and whatnot take advantage of, knowing that we're going to do that. And people end up characterizing entire groups of people they've never even met a person from in order to make it easier to demonize them. You know, so you're gonna make people who get abortions sound like they're all, you know, ditzy, green-haired, like, anti-baby communists or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But the vast majority of people who get abortions are just normal, like, regular people. Yeah. Like most groups of people. I wouldn't say, you know, yeah, not all groups of people. Certain groups of people are full of shitty people, but...
Right.
It's interesting. And I know you've gotten a lot of flack from people, even on our post, saying that we were having you on today. Oh, yeah? Somebody commented, OnlyFans detected. This is the funniest thing to me. Like, grown men, make rhymes. Like... The OnlyFans detected. Opinion rejected.
Can I give you a quick interesting fact of who is on OnlyFans? Those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes they're not even smart enough to change their freaking user. They have the same usernames.
Oh, yeah.
I just imagine these dudes, like, doing hopscotch, saying these rhymes, or, like, jump rope or whatever.
Yeah, just, like, clapping to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. OnlyFans rejected, or opinion rejected. And it's just, like... They're completely devoid of a rational argument against that, other than, and that's why they say things like that.
But it's interesting to me that I've never seen a man comment that comment on a man's post. And yet, do you know who's made up OnlyFans of? It's men. Like, there's a very small percentage of women on OnlyFans, and men are the ones keeping OnlyFans alive.
I didn't know that.
Because we're all horn dogs, of course. The majority of people
are... Well, like, do you think pays money to OnlyFans? Women?
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it's like they're gonna pay money into OnlyFans to, like, access it, and then they're gonna be like, yeah, but I'm never gonna listen to anything this chick says.
They weren't listening to me anyway,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, it says a lot about, like, the view of women in our society, and especially sex workers, you know, as kind of, like, transactional and, you know, like, lower than it's, you know, I won't say as in society, but in a certain sect of society. You know, it's funny, you're on our podcast now, and then tonight we're having somebody else on who also has an OnlyFans, but only because we lost the previous recording with her. And she's kind enough to come back. It's just like, but we don't go searching for people with OnlyFans. Like, we don't go, it's just, there's an intersection of people we respect who also have OnlyFans. And they bring something to the table in the conversation. And it's a benefit that you're into guns also.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think, like, if somebody has OnlyFans or doesn't, it just, like, doesn't make any difference to me about anything. Like, I don't really understand... I mean, the reason I even started considering it is because someone made an AI porn of me and, like, decided to sell it everywhere. Ugh. And then...
dude.
I was like...
She's like, I might as well make money on
what
this.
What a modern problem. I was like, well, this That's is so
I gotta
weird.
Figure out how to make money on this. It's just too Already good.
Happening. Like, this random bro with a ton of money off this. I'm not.
Wait. So yeah. who's worse? The guy who makes the AI porn, or the guy who doesn't realize he can make his own and buys it from somebody else?
Right? No, you can just literally go make AI porn of anybody at any time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So why are you buying?
This person made a fake account of, well, you know what? The people that bought it are so dumb. But he made, like, a fake account of me, and then would message all my followers and be like, hi, babe. Yes.
Oh, my God. Do you want to see more of me? It's so annoying, and this is so hard as a fucking recovering porn addict. I'm gonna play the violin for myself. Just, like, being on Instagram and getting these fucking bot messages about, and they're all the same. It's all, like, copy pasted.
But I don't know why anybody thinks that's
real.
Yeah, who falls for that anymore? Oh, yeah. Like, don't we all know that that's not?
I get dozens, like, not no lie, I get dozens of junk messages a week, of the same bot message saying, "Hey, My friend dared me to reach out to you.
Oh my God, yes.
It's follow my other profile here.
Because this account I made because I'm too shy. And that doesn't even make any sense.
Message me on my other account where I sell my OnlyFans, but this one I'm too shy on.
Yeah.
It's super weird. I think the first time that I recognized that OnlyFans was a legitimate source of income and had a whole new perspective on it was my last job. I had this commute on I-95, and every now and then I would see this like souped up Cadillac CTS-V fly by me in the left lane while I was driving my like my Volvo wagon, and they had big letters on the back window, their OnlyFans link. And I was like, you know what? Fuck yeah. Like, you do. Like, yeah, OnlyFans paid for this sports car that you're never going to be able to afford. Okay. Like, I get the jealousy aspect there because I was like, I might do OnlyFans if that's the thing that gets
Well,
paid out. Probably wouldn't be able to afford a Cadillac with my OnlyFans.
They'll sell yourself short.
But maybe you could at least like fill your gas tank up. You know? I guarantee you, like whoever, I don't know who commented that. I didn't see it yet. But I guarantee
to be fair, I don't know if they were being like ironic. It was very early in the morning, and if they were joking, then you know.
Lots of love to that person. First of all,
love.
Like I'm not trying to start a fight at all. But like here's some things. I don't think my opinion ever mattered to them anyway. So, like, I'm not losing sleep that my opinion is rejected. Also, I don't think that person would care if I sent them a picture of my tits for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think they...
But if you're making money on it, that's where the issue is.
Yeah. So in fact, they would probably want to do more than just see pictures of my tits for free. I just think they don't like the money aspect of it. But again, like, if you do have a problem with OnlyFans, you don't need to talk to any women about it. You need to go talk to men about it because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if half the women...
like, I don't know, talk to a therapist.
Yeah, like, if half the women left OnlyFans right now, it would still be up and running just as much. And if half the men left OnlyFans right now, it would be a huge, like, that would be crazy. Because men are the ones funding OnlyFans. So I have one woman on there. Everything else.
There are a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, it's dudes, so...
Yeah, there are also a bunch of dudes who I didn't realize are, like, creators on OnlyFans. I follow a bunch of people who, like, when I click their link tree, they'll just happen to have an OnlyFans also. And, you know, like, at this point, it's like, all right, a 50-50 shot that anyone who is, like, attractive and puts a lot of effort into making content on Instagram that shows off their looks has an OnlyFans. But, like, that's marketing. Like, that is totally marketing. When I make this, like, super goofy TikTok or reel of like, me wearing a printing assault weapons t-shirt or something like that, that's the same. It's the same kind of marketing that somebody, you know, you wearing like a leather pants on, like, shoot with an outside the waistband holster and a tank top, and then like drilling bullseyes, that's marketing. You just happen to be also like directing people inadvertently to the links in your profile.
I got this one account that came across my feed. She's like a mushroom researcher. And I was like, sweet, I fucking love mushrooms. And I was like learning about mushrooms at the time. So I was like, algorithm worked. Show me the mushrooms. And I started looking at her reels. And it's like her, there's like one of her in the woods, like just like going around picking mushrooms. And then there's like a half second shot of her like start in a bikini starting to untie it. And I was like, wait, what the fuck? What is this shit? And I started looking at some of her other reels, and there's
what is this shit?
There's like her like doing like mushroom research, and then like a little short little clip of her like you know, like starting to make out with a chick in the woods amongst mushrooms. And I realized, like,
I mean,
I looked at her bio, and there's like spicy Twitter, OnlyFans, and like a whole bunch of other like model sites, and I realized, like, this chick isn't making up the mushroom thing. She's like talking about mushrooms and like actually, you know, like has like equipment and like shows off like what she's actually doing. And she, apparently she's like a graduate student, like researching mycology or whatever, but like also has an Instagram and an OnlyFans and all that, and has like integrated that marketing into her like shtick, right? Her like mushroom thing.
It's like
thing.
Who she is, and I feel like people must want to have that like connection, because otherwise, like, there's so much porn for free.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'm like, do you guys know that porn is free?
Yeah, right. I know.
Like, I don't, please don't stop, but like, did you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
someone can do like way more than what I'm doing here for literally free, but also like, don't stop.
I think it's great. You know, like, there's this like culture war of, and Andrew, I know you kind of fall in the middle because like morally, you support people who do OnlyFans, but like you're against porn, or like I'm not
against porn. I personally cannot consume it in a healthy way. That's where I'm at. Other people, it's but not my business.
Fair. But I'm like that with, you know, soda. Like no soda.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If you want to, you're trying to ban soda. It.
Yeah.
I'm like that with Coke. Personally, like I cannot consume it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Damn, mine was so boring. Like. I should have picked something.
No. I've only done it a few times, and it's been enough to know that I should not do it again. But which is weird, as somebody with ADHD, what?
Yeah. Oddly enough, I'm cool with Coke and porn, but like soda.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem odd to me at all.
No. But I know people
that like do like meth, and they're like, but only salads for me, please.
Oh.
You know, like I will not eat a hamburger. That's, my body is a temple.
Yeah. My friend said that the other day across the table from me, and I reminded him that his body is like a temple that is getting bombed in Lebanon. It's not quite the same. Not quite. Yeah. Just because it's a temple does not mean
it's sacred, but nobody seems to give a shit about
it. Right, exactly. There are those temples.
Yeah, you know, to kind of branch off of that a little bit, one of the reasons that I made such a concerted, obsessive effort to get you back on the show again was because I had a lot of people who, when I would bring you up in conversation, would say, oh, Chris is cool. Like, Chris is, like, your particular views and things that they've overheard you say vibe well with what we do. And I, you know, it got me thinking, this is somebody who is arguably one of the more mainstream people in the gun space, but also does this, which has historically not meshed well with the overtly conservative, you know, gun community.
Yes and no, right? Like, well, doesn't not mesh outwardly. Well in discourse, but meshes very in well public. Economically.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it got me thinking, do you think that the gun community is changing enough to make space for people who don't fit the usual mold? Or do you think that the culture war is... we're constantly going to be fighting that battle.
I mean, that's like a yes and no question. Obviously, it is a little bit because I'm here and like I'm someone that shouldn't be here. I don't fit into the, you know, what you would think of as a gun person. It's not me. And somehow I'm here. So that's great. So yes. And also, like, I get enough hate or negative attention. So also no, because, you know, there is that negative attention. But first of all, I don't give a shit about the negative attention at all. My business is thriving. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to pat my ego, you know? I didn't like one day wake up and be like, I need some validation from the gun community. I'm going to start posting. No, I was like, I want this business to thrive. I'm going to start posting. And that's what happened. So, you know, if you want to like talk negative about me, please do. It's like free press. Every time you talk shit about me, I'm going to have 5 new customers. So like, go for it. But I do think there is change happening. And I think it's crazy because I think it's like it's a self-sabotage of the 2A community to not let people that don't like look right come in. Because, I mean, just me, I've helped hundreds, probably thousands, because I probably don't know about stuff, but like literally personally in my range, like person to person, I've helped hundreds of people who were like anti-gun, like myself, become pro-gun and become gun owners and learn about gun safety. And that's like not my online presence. That's just like in my range, in my store. So it really is like self-sabotaging of the 2A community to say that they only want, you know, this certain kind of person in their community. And I mean, my opinion is that the 2A community kind of like did this to themselves.
Yeah.
Like so much they did it to themselves. Even in just conversation, like I've watched so many things, you know, you like watch live, like the senators arguing with each other. And even that, it just blows my mind the way that they're just so like, they talk down to them so much. And just like, it's just so gross. I did an interview one time with a very liberal television station, which right there. Like, nobody in our community will even talk to these people. They literally came from a different state to interview me because, like, nobody from the 2A community would talk to them. And yeah. they were talking about how, like, it was their stance that we should have magazine capacity limited. So I'm like,
yeah.
instead of being like, ah, you're so stupid, like, you know, whatever,
which checkmate is liberal.
Yeah, it's the usual reaction. I was just like, oh, like, why? That's so interesting to me. Why? Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, if they only had, like, they were talking about, like, a 10-round magazine. Well, wouldn't you rather only have, like, 10 shots? And I go, okay. So, like, if I'm, like, let's just, I'm the bad guy, okay? I have 100 rounds of ammunition. Like, do you feel safer if I have 10 10-round mags versus 5 20-round mags? How does that make you feel safer? I'm like, I'm struggling here.
Yeah.
And then I brought her into the range and showed her how to change a mag. And I was like, it's like less than a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the big disconnects between the people who are historically anti-gun or pro-gun control, I'll say, and reality. Because, right. you know, you spend any amount of time with guns or with people who shoot guns, and that's something that you learn straight off the bat. It's a perfect example of this fascination with chasing the symptom and not the problem itself.
Yes.
You know, you've got these people who would say, yeah, okay, it's going to be objectively safer if we limit the amount of rounds that a magazine can hold. Meanwhile, yeah. I mean, something as simple as, like, you have these couplers now that can just couple 10-round magazines, mm-hmm. and then you can couple them upside down so that you have one on top of another and then two side by side. So now you have 40 rounds.
Yeah.
Four magazines on an AR that if somebody spends any amount of time with, they can reload in a completely negligible time difference than if they were to actually have a 40-round mag.
Well, it's also important to note, too, a lot of this magazine capacity rhetoric is based off of one incident that's been recorded where the shooter was reloading and somebody, like, saw that he was reloading and grabbed his hand or something. And... you know, there's never, to my knowledge, been another incident where somebody saw a mass killer reloading and seized the opportunity because of that. The reality is that whatever magazines they have on them and however many magazines they have on them, they're going to continue shooting until they meet resistance, and then they will stop. They will either kill themselves or they will run away.
Which is what we see time and time again.
And it doesn't even matter. It's like you could throw a chair at them, shoot a gun at them, you could punch them or just, you know, push them. You know, it doesn't seem to really matter what you do to them. Once they realize they're not shooting at a bunch of sitting ducks, they're just gonna stop. They're gonna do something else.
Yeah.
And that's why
people go after schools and not police stations.
Yeah. And it's never been the case that the number of bullets in the magazine mattered in that situation.
Right.
And I understand logically why someone who's unfamiliar with this problem would assume that the size of the magazine helps a mass shooter, right?
It's not the size, it's how you use it.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
It just doesn't bear out, you know, in reality.
Yeah, you know, have you found any success in having these conversations with people who, I mean, obviously by the time you interact with most people, they are at least open to the idea because they're coming to see you at the range. But have you had any success having these conversations with people who are vehemently anti-gun? And, like, if that's the case, like, how do you find is the best way to reach people like that?
I share my own experience, but I also, you know, there's something so valuable in just kind of, like, shutting up and listening to their experience and understanding how they feel. And I think, you know, 10 years ago, I felt like that. So I think just understanding that is the first step, because there's so many people in the 2A community that can't even, like, let them get their sentence out, can't even, you know, it seems so stupid and crazy to them. And I think, like, the 2A community needs to understand, like, our nervous system is built to keep us away from things that could kill us. So it's completely reasonable that somebody would look at a gun and be like, ugh, it's like backing away from a cliff. It's okay. Yeah. You just need to be educated. And we don't have to think one way or another when somebody's like, oh, I don't like guns. Oh, great. Your whole body is, like, literally built to try to walk away from a loud fucking explosion. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
No problem. So I think
that's totally normal.
And not acting like they're weird. Like, the way that a lot of people in the 2A community will just instantly just start judging. Oh, you're anti-gun. Oh, you don't love America. Oh, like, no, have some understanding. Like, I didn't like guns because every time I saw a gun growing up, it was a horrible situation. Awful. So why would I like them? Like, it makes sense that I didn't like them. That's fine. Maybe change their experiences that they've had. Give them a good experience with guns. Like, it's normal that if we as humans, every time we see a certain thing, it's a bad experience. Of course, we're not going to like that thing.
You know, it's tee off of what you said earlier about, you know, the gun community shooting itself in the foot and doing this to itself. Whenever I see somebody who is like openly transphobic or homophobic or bigoted in any way on the internet, especially on our page or like in our interactions, I find a really good way to kind of, at least the way that makes me feel better, because I know these people are not going to be able to be reached on the internet, is it's like remind them like, hey, you're the reason these people are buying guns. If you don't want these people that you hate or whoever that may be to buy guns and to be part of this gun community, be a good fucking person, and they won't have reason to. Like, there's so many people who buy a gun because they feel like they need one. It's because of the other people with guns who hate them.
Yeah.
So if you don't want them to feel like they have to equalize the playing field, don't make them feel like they
don't talk about killing them all the time.
Yeah. It's wild. You know, I'm really digging this change that we have where people like yourself, and you know, you seem like you've probably always been like this, but more gun owners are addressing the issue of the fact that we have such a lack of empathy for people who have been through traumatic experiences, or who people who have different opinions than us. People have different opinions, and you know, validating someone's concerns. If you want to convince someone that they are wrong, the best thing you can do and the first thing you should do is validate their concerns. If you immediately come out of the gate, like you said, calling someone an idiot, you're an idiot, you're a stupid person. And because that's how we sound. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. It's going to make them feel validated because now, like we said, you know, there's this caricature of gun owners, and you're contributing to that by doing that.
Well, you know, Jordan, what you're saying is not like fucking metaphysics or sociology. Like,
no, if you Google like how to get people to agree with you, it's like Psychology Today article.
It's number one. They like can look at your fucking brain, and when somebody is like arguing with you, like different parts of it light up than when you're like actively taking in information and changing your mind. So there's like a physiological response that your brain has when a deeply held position is like suddenly and angrily like criticized. You know, there's a certain, you know, it's sort of related to the cognitive dissonance, which is like a real discomfort you have when you suddenly find out that something that you believe is wrong and you have to reconcile it. You just have to approach people like, be chill, be normal, you know, be normal challenge.
Yeah. I love where I work because I'm in such a melting pot of ideologies and beliefs, because it's afforded me the opportunity to have these hard conversations with people without having to build the trust first, because that's a big thing is, you know, building yourself as a trusted resource is hard, especially when all of your discourse happens on the internet. But when you're day in, day out doing things with people, and then you come to the point where there's a disagreement, that trust is hopefully already there if you're not a shitty person. And I've had conversations with people who think that abortion is murder, and being able to have frank and honest conversations with people about that kind of thing, even if you don't immediately change their mind, regardless of what it is, whether it's guns, abortion, immigration, whatever, even if you don't immediately change their mind, you're showing them that not everybody who holds your belief is who they were told that person is.
Yeah. And that's
it.
True.
Opens the door to more conversations like that in the future.
Yeah, that's so true. I think just like listening to each other and being able to understand each other is so huge. And it's something that's just missing from the world in general, honestly.
Speaking of missing from the world, if you're listening to this and you're not on our Patreon, you're missing from our world. So you should absolutely go check out our Patreon if you like what we're doing. And
that was smooth.
I've been trying to get better about promoting that. It sounds so cheesy, but like, we used to do ads in the middle where we would stop the show and be like, hey, people, listen to our, go follow our Patreon.
Listen, that cheesy, that was like so smooth and cheesy and perfect.
I try to find a healthy blend of smooth and cheesy in my day-to-day life. I like to think that's how I won my wife over.
Yes.
It's
Wynn wines with cheese and smoothness. It's true.
Oh my God, my cheese is the smoothest.
I love it.
I don't know if I like that. I don't know. Honey, do you like my smooth cheese? Anyway.
No, go on.
No, go off, King. Marry me.
Gosh.
Yeah, there is a validity to, like, I mean, even if you're, I've had conversations with people where, like, just being, not trying to paint yourself as the most knowledgeable person in the room and being a cheese ball, like, I'm a goof. Like, I know I'm a goofball. I happen to have some very strong beliefs about certain things. And, you know, if you can interject some kind of humor into that conversation, then that's a win, you know, break the ice. If you're dating somebody or flirting with someone and you make them laugh, that's a win. If you can make somebody laugh who's having wants to have an argument with you, you're in.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I don't take dating advice from me. I've been a serial monogamist my whole life, but absolutely take advice from me about how to talk to people who disagree with
that's
you.
That's how you, yeah. Wait, that's, people should take dating advice from you if you've been in a relationship your whole
life. I guess you're right. Yeah, that's, I guess, actually, depending on what your goals
you're
are.
You're doing it right.
Yeah, fair.
I don't know. People ask me, you know, my wife and I started dating when we were in high school, and people ask me for, like, relationship advice. I'm like, I don't know the problems.
I don't know. I was just so good at it. She stayed with me.
No, I mean, I feel like she just cut me a lot of slack. I don't know. You know, I
that's a lot. That's part of it.
The problems that people have with relationships and dating are so alien to me now, having only done it one time,
the perfect marriage,
in high school instead of, like, as an adult. And it just, like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't have that kind of advice for
just
people.
Just be grateful.
Yeah.
Just be grateful. It's not fun out here. I'm like, wildly single, and I'm never going to date again, and I'm going to die alone. And I'm, like, so happy about it. So yeah. I also
Well, dude, if you're,
advice.
Like, there's a... Well, but honestly, that's advice in and of itself is, like, you know, in the same vein that people are choosing not to have kids en masse, like, I have friends of mine who are 100% happy with the fact that they are not going to have kids, and they're doing awesome things with their lives. Like, two of my best friends just got back from a cruise in Alaska. They flew out to Washington and just did a cruise in Alaska, and they hiked through the rainforest in Alaska, which I didn't even know existed. And, you know, like, granted, there are benefits to having kids. Like, Chris, you know that. Andrew, you know that, obviously. Andrew's life is fucking chaos.
You know, I want some more benefits. I want the balance.
Your benefits,
of the benefits,
like,
to be a little higher.
You chose to have three kids in quick succession of each other, so your benefits will be reaped.
I can't complain. I love my kids. I'm just really tired now and all the time.
All the time.
There's, like, a decade of tiredness when you have kids, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. We started recording a little, like, our last episode, I think it was, or the one before that, and Andrew got on the camera, and he looked like he had just been through war. He was wearing the same shirt as he was when he got on the front line. And I was like, Andrew, like, I hate to be this guy, but
you gotta change your shirt, man. Get your shit together. You're on video.
And I was like, oh, actually, it's a V-neck. Oh, okay. And he's like, no, I've slept in this shirt, and I haven't changed.
It was like, you know, it's like all, like, loose and, like, you know, hanging on me like a tent.
It happens. I've been there.
Yeah. I'd be a horrible manager because I find it so hard to pull rank and, like, put my foot down. I've had to do it, like, once or twice, not on this, but, like, my other jobs. I distinctly remember a situation where I don't remember the situation because apparently I fucking blacked out or something on this employee who was not getting her shit together. I don't know if I just yelled at her, but I remember my boss looking at me going, holy shit, fucking go get him. Like, I can't believe you did that. And this was a person who deserved it. But I don't remember a single thing I said. I don't know what the hell happened.
It's coping mechanisms.
Yeah, you're just right. Like,
I guess. Probably because it made me feel so bad.
Out of my memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably because it made me feel so bad. Yeah, it's wild. But how's that? Like, how's going from, you know, not being in the gun space at all to managing people and, like, running a business in the gun world?
Well, I have a really good team around me, and I just hire people that are more knowledgeable than me when it comes to the gun space. So, you know, I have only a few years experience. They have decades. And then I think you just have to know that they know more than you and, you know, trust them and have their back. I'm more of like a coordinator of this place. I'm not the one that brings the knowledge into here. So, you know, our gunsmith, he's like arguably the smartest man when it comes to gunsmithing, person when it comes to gunsmithing in, you know, the West Coast, maybe. So I'm just like so lucky to have him here. And I mean, I never tell him what to do. Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, he's that brolic ass dude that I see in some of your videos.
What do you need? Like, and I mean, the same with my retail guys. They've been in this business for like, you know, years when I was didn't even, you know, want to touch a gun. And so I rely on them and I make sure to support them in, you know, ways I need to support them. And
yeah,
we're all a team. You know, it's not like me sitting up here calling the shots. Like, we're a team. We all work together. So I think just making sure you're surrounded with the right people is super important.
I hear you. That's huge. Yeah. Yeah, that's like, that's something that I've struggled with a lot in this, you know, growing the business, is like knowing when to delegate and knowing when to find people who know more than I do about certain things in order to do things for the business and for the organization.
I mean, this is a good experience for me. Because I think I'm a serial, like, do everything myself, don't delegate kind of person. But it's a great experience when you, like, don't have the option because you don't know how to fucking do it. Like,
yeah. Who's that massive jack dude that I see in some of your videos?
Nick Best. So he was the strongest man in the world for quite some time. Right now he's the strongest. I can't remember. I hope he doesn't watch this. He's gonna be like,
he's the strongest man at the range.
Like, he's definitely the strongest man at the range. So I mean, he's like a great example of someone that, like, we are just so happy to have on our team because he brings a whole different side of things. He actually didn't know anything about guns whenever he started working here. He was one of the influencers I worked with. I worked and still do work with influencers to promote the range.
You never need one. You just smash people.
Right? Literally. But he wanted to learn more about guns. So he asked me, he's like really big in that scene too. He had like his own TV show and all this other kind of stuff. So he didn't really need a job, but he asked me one time, he was like, hey, I wish I could like learn more about guns and like just educate myself. What should I do? And I was like, when people really want to get into it, I'm like, just get a job, because you really need to be doing this like day in, day out to have it really, like, if you want to learn fast, you know, you'll learn in a couple months what takes people years. So I was like, and he was like, can I intern in here or something? And I was like, dude, I'll just hire you. And he was kind of just like, I don't know. But I don't know how to run these guns. I'm like, right, that's the point. You're gonna like, you'll figure it out because you're gonna be here. You know, you won't have any other choice. So it started with like 2 or 3 days a week just for fun, and then he just like fell in love with it. So he's here full time now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, it's nice bringing people from different walks of life like into the gun scene, and you know, I'm sure he brings stuff to the table that I don't have any like specific affinity towards this dude. He's the first guy that I thought I remembered from your videos.
I mean, he's huge. Like, his arm is bigger than the body, so it's like and he has a big social media presence, so you know, obviously when you started working here that wasn't like a requirement, but it's fun. Like, we have fun doing our social media. You know, there was a time when I like used to dread it, but the way that we kind of do it like all together now, I would say like a majority of the videos I do, and you know, it's with lots of people, like, it's a fun experience. It's not, you know, oh, I'm gonna go be cute for this video now. Most of the time it's like us doing, you know, dumb shit to each other, and like it's fun.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, I wish Andrew and I and our group of people were closer together, because when we're together it's so much fun. We don't even think, I actually had a list of things that when we were together for SHOT Show, I was like, oh, we're going to make content. We're going to do these videos and make content. And we didn't do any of it because we were just having a good time and hanging out with each other. But, you know, if we had a business together and saw each other daily, I'd like to think that we would be able to record some of our shenanigans. Yeah. So it's nice.
I mean,
we're
to the point now where I think we have more, you know, it used to be a chore of like, and it still is sometimes, like, oh, I haven't posted in a couple of days. I have to figure out what I'm going to post. You know what I mean? There's those moments. Yeah. I think everybody has those. But the things that we do together are so, like, we're, like, dying laughing while we're doing it. We're dying. Like, we think it's, you know, we're probably getting more entertainment out of it than everybody watching at this point. So, you know, it's just like a reason to act like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
God, everybody needs more of those.
Yeah, like, no, I hear you.
I just had the most fun. We did a video where I was like walking up to people and hugging them. And I'm like, I'm not a hugger. Like
I saw that.
Love these people. Like I think I had more fun doing that than, and you know, the people like behind me filming, like we were dying laughing. Like just get the most fun for days. I think that's great. I think every job should have like, you know, stupid crap you have to do with everybody just to like lighten the mood.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that that's, you know, you've got these like super stiff jobs where everybody's got to be serious all the time. You know, the gun community is one of those things where, like, I remember this iconic video of Print Shoot Repeat shooting with a dildo. Actually, it was a dong for those in the know. On the end of his barrel as if it were a suppressor, and he got so much flack from people saying, "Oh, you shouldn't be doing this. This is giving the gun industry a bad name. You should be serious all the time. You know, this is a bad example." And it's just like, shut up, dude. Like, it's, you can have so much fun with guns. The guns are fun. That should be the thing. That's the selling point. Like, not everything has to be super serious. Guns are fucking fun. And when you can incorporate people you like into the fun stuff that you're already having with guns, that's like 10 times better.
100%. Like, and really work should be fun too. Like guns should be fun.
Yeah.
Work should be fun. Like we're all so serious all the time. If we take like 7 minutes to, you know, giggle throughout the day, like I think that's great. Kind of relieves some of the stress.
Do you guys come up with your own content, or do you have somebody who's like a mastermind and is like, this is what the algorithm is craving. Let's make this.
we did market research and it turns out you need to suplex your boss or something.
No, it's mostly me and Maddie. It's just mostly me and Maddie being dumb. I think what we have is we'll sit around and there'll be like, you know, five or six of us. And some of these, I mean, there's probably guys that you like recognize who don't really do their own social media, but they like are involved with ours a lot because it's fun. It's funny. And also because they're like down for anything. So whenever we have something stupid we want to do, we're like, who are we going to get? Like, who's going to do this with us?
I had this.
No, go ahead.
No. It was pointless and stupid.
Oh, geez. Well, I'll have an idea and it's like kind of funny. You know, it's like 40% funny. And then I'm like, okay, Maddie, we're going to do this. And then they're like, she's like, oh, and then we can add this. And then we like go get the guy to do it with. And he's like, oh, but like, let's do this. Like, so it's, we have such an advantage because there's like, you know, five or six people that are giving ideas. And then someone who's not even in the video is like, oh, you should actually do this. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like we have a little bit of an advantage because no, we don't have like a team, but like, yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris got a call.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
It's all good. We're standing.
Sorry. Okay, and I have to wrap it up here in a few minutes as well, too, because I have to. I'm getting messages right here.
Awesome. Yeah, we. I forgot to ask the Patreon questions last time around, and I had to send voice memos. Derek Wilson Silders says, "What are you currently seeing or hope to see more of in the gun community to make it more inclusive in terms of making spaces feel safe and comfortable for everyone?"
So I mean, what I see is like, I'm already doing that personally. So that's great. We really try to make our classes feel very like comfortable and laid back. We do about 100 CCW classes a week and then probably like 20 to 40 one-on-ones. The one-on-ones I think are really like, we have one-on-ones to make people feel comfortable. Those are for people. That's why we do them one-on-one instead of in a classroom situation. So that alone, and then I mean, the women that we have in here is amazing. We're about 40 to 45% women taking classes, which is awesome. So I think walking into a classroom where there's already a lot of women, that right away, that makes women feel more comfortable. We have female instructors, so that kind of helped. And then just the way that our classes are taught, I have to give a lot of credit to our instructors. They're just not that like stringent. You're in the military. Right. Like, it feels so relaxed and friendly the way they give classes. And I wish I could like describe that better or give you like data about that. But I think it's just really it's a vibe thing. Like, vibes. Yeah.
It really is. You know, like, that's one thing I try to explain to people coming into this space is like, I had a friend of mine who had a really good idea, but in practice, I think it would be harder to execute, where he said that we should have a rating system for resources on our website for like how welcoming and safe and like inclusive they are. And I like the idea, but it's tough because for one, it's subjective. It's entirely subjective. And two,
yeah, that's why there's like no data.
No. And, you know, honestly, vibes are everything.
Yeah.
Like if you walk into a place and everybody's friendly and everybody's happy to see you and very informative and helpful, that I would recommend to people 10 times out of 10 over, you know, a range that's like flying a Bernie flag or, you know, for whatever reason, like something that like a place that stays apolitical, but is engaging and helpful and, you know, like honestly makes people feel safe because of the environment in that is way more beneficial, I think, than somebody who's like making left-leaning politics their identity, but doesn't have as much to bring to the table as a place like yourself, especially in the environment that we're in, where there's so much that so many places that don't and make it their whole thing and make it super cringy for everybody.
Right. Yeah. We definitely stay apolitical. I think that helps us for sure.
I have a couple more. Timothy asks, he's got two questions. What's your favorite gun, both to own and shoot, in case they're different?
I don't know. I get this question all the time and I just have no answer. I'm so sorry. It just depends. Like there's no way that I can say a favorite gun. I'm a Glock fan, so I carry a Glock 19X at work, and then I carry a Glock 43X to conceal carry. Begrudgingly, I like the Bodyguard 2.0, and I have that, and I can still carry that sometimes, too, because I really hated the Bodyguard, but 2.0, I begrudgingly like it. And we do a whole bunch of full auto stuff. They're all fun. I don't know. It depends on the day and situation. I refuse to have a favorite gun. I'm sorry. I don't know.
That's totally reasonable. He also wants to know, from your perspective operating a gun range with rentals, what's your most and least favorite gun to have the public shoot?
Least favorite gun to have, like, most public shoot is the AK-47. I don't know why everybody wants to come in here and shoot the AK-47. They've never shot a gun before, and they want to shoot it in full auto. I don't know why that is. It's so annoying. Stop it. You're not ready for the AK-47 in full auto.
You're not ready, dude.
I could go on.
I could definitely see that. Last question. This one isn't a Patreon question. It's just something we ask all our guests. If you had a piece of advice for people, it could be gun related. It could just be something to help people out in their life. What would that piece of advice be?
I feel like I don't dole out advice often.
You should start. You're full of wisdom.
You know what? I guess my piece of advice would be like what I always tell myself is like, you don't know. Like I always tell myself that I don't know. And so I always just want to like ask more questions and learn. And I wish.
Yeah. You don't know. I learn that every day.
Whatever it is, you don't know.
I wish everybody felt that way because I feel like a lot of times people wake up thinking that they know. I don't know what we're talking about, but you don't fucking know. Trust me. And neither do I.
You know less. Yeah. 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 Sick, dude. Well. Yeah, I think this is great. This was another banger episode, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, it was totally awesome. Finally, after years of trying.
Yeah, we got to add you to our resources list so people could find you from our website, and when they're in the area, go shoot.
Yeah, I always love it when people come by. I love meeting people from online. I love it when I get to meet them in the range. It's awesome.
I love meeting my internet friends.
Hold on. Was that like, were you being serious or was that like sarcasm?
No, I love it. I literally love it.
It'd be a really weird time to be like, no, I'm actually sarcastic. I hate meeting people who want to come to the range.
I really hate it. You know, my favorite thing is there's been like, I would say maybe like 10, 20 girls, like young women who have traveled to the range to shoot their first gun with me. And it literally like, it warms my heart. It warms my heart. I will leave whatever. I will be at a meeting and they'll be like, there's a little girl down here that wants to shoot her first gun with you. And I'm like, fuck everything else. It's like my favorite thing.
A girl needs me.
Yeah, I love it.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Sick, Chris. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Go, for people listening, go check out the range if you're ever in Vegas or if you feel like traveling to Vegas to go to the range. Do it.
Yeah, come say hi.
Awesome.